JC. Thank you, Miss Kathy. Thank you, Brother Dennis. Let's give them all some encouragement. Didn't they do a wonderful job? I learned something about Miss Kathy this morning. She can play that piano way better than I can. And tremendous job, Brother Dennis and JC. God's blessed us with a lot of talented people, gifts, should I say, a lot of talented brothers and sisters in Christ with precious gifts that God's blessed them with. Miss Kathy and Brother Dennis, y'all did a terrific job. And pray for Brother Jeff, the family, Erica, and everybody else. So many people are sick. I'm just going to keep on reminding you. And Brother Dennis, I don't think I'll ever sing that song again without being reminded of Joseph Scriven. The highlight of our life on earth should be when we get married to Jesus. We're birthed into the kingdom of God. But to think that one of the next greatest highlights in life is when you meet the love of your life and you feel like that's the person you want to spend the rest of your earthly life with and join in holy matrimony. And yet Joseph Scriven, so excited, man, just about to spend life with that one he feels like God is putting his life and then they're taken away. And then a second time, the highlight of his life, boy, he's finally going to meet the right one and spend the rest of his life with that person serving God together. And then that second fiance taken from him. You know, guys, a lost and dying world don't understand this relationship with God. It's inconceivable to them. You know, they look at things like this and the tragedies and see us still singing and still praising God, and they can't understand it. They don't just, you know, it's sometimes in the greatest valleys is when God reveals himself as the greatest healer, the greatest comforter, the greatest strength. And in the midst of those things, he reveals his glory, and it shows us that what a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs and pains to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Could you imagine people who go through stuff like Joseph Scriven did and not have no one to take it to? No one to lean on? No one to give him strength? No one to give him comfort? That solace that he talked about, that peace in the midst of the pain and suffering that only God can give. You know, man, what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. And I want to talk about this new year this morning. The title of the sermon, Starting Out Right. Starting Out Right. How many of you want to start out right this New Year's? Amen. Well, let's start out right by opening up the Word of God and preaching it. Looking into it, living it, laying our lives down for the Lordship of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll start in verse 14. Starting out right. Let's read a few verses together. We'll read verses 14 through 21 together in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. He died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him. And he committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Father in heaven, forgive us of our sins. Fill us with your Spirit today. Pray that you would honor your word and exalt your Son, that we would leave here changed by the grace and glory of God, Lord. Lord, I pray you fill me with your Spirit to preach your word this morning. Forgive me where I failed you, Lord God. Have mercy on me, Lord God. Put your hand on me. Speak in and through me to honor you, to exalt your Son, to honor your word, and to submit to it. And I'll give you the honor, the glory, and the praise for all that you do, Lord. Let us leave here saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord, that God spoke to us, his word came alive and imparted power and life into our lives, Lord God. And we'll praise you for all that you continue to do. And Lord, once again, we pray for healing upon all your sheep who are sick, Lord. Even right now as we pray that you would reach out and touch them, Lord God, and get them back on their feet. In the name of Jesus, our great God and Savior, we pray, and all God's people say it, amen. Wouldn't it be great to read this passage of Scripture this morning and go into this new year starting out right? In other words, totally abandoning ourselves to everything we desire in life and laying it all down for the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in verse 14, the love of Christ controls us. That one died for all, therefore all died. We would no longer live for ourselves, but for the glory of God and the one who died for us and reconciled us to God. We covered that word reconciled just a week or two ago. To bring peace between two warring parties. That's what Christ was doing on the cross of Calvary. He was bridging the gap between sinful, ungodly, wicked man and holy God. Bringing us back into a pathway where we could come through Jesus to be reconciled to God. At war with God when you don't know Jesus. Running from God. Separated from God. There is no neutral ground. People say, hey, preachers say in their preaching, man, you can't ride the fence. Well, I want to tell you, there is no fence to ride. You're either in Christ or you're outside of Christ. You're either reconciled to God or you're at war with God. You're either a friend of God or an enemy of God. There is no neutral ground. There is no fence to ride. And we as Christians should understand we have been reconciled to God. We've been brought back into a right relationship with God, and we now have peace with God because of Jesus and what he done on the cross of Calvary. And if we're going to start out right, then we've got to learn that now that we've been reconciled to God and we're in a right relationship with God, and folks, here's where most Christians live in depression and defeat and discouragement. They don't understand that once you've been reconciled to God, Christ is now Lord of your life. You've given up every right you've ever had. It's no longer how you want to live your life. It's no longer what your great big board is with all of your goals and your ambitions and your dreams. That has been crucified. That is now underneath the Lordship of Jesus. God, you send me where you want me to go. You do in and through me what you want to do. Lord, if it's valleys, if it's tragedy, you'll be there. You'll get glory. If it's richer or poorer, better for worse, Christ is Lord. And Lord, I'm in this as I submit to you for your will to be done, not mine. What a difference that would make if we mature and get to that point, every one of us going into this new year. Listen to me closely. Nothing happens in your life that is not filtered through the sovereign hand of a holy God that loves you. Can you get that this morning going into this new year? That means even tragedy. That has been filtered through the sovereign hand of a holy God that loves you and saved you by the grace of God. That don't mean life don't get difficult. That don't mean that we don't have pain, we don't have struggles. But folks, when we get saved, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, that you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. And with that price of Christ paying the penalty for your sins, now you're underneath his lordship. And folks, I've shared my testimony many a times, and I'll just hit it briefly. In the greatest tragedy and struggles of my life, I mean dead broke. I mean, you ever been broke before? You ever had to put money on cards before just to get groceries, just to pay bills? I mean broke, folks. Not praying for both ends to meet, but just to get close enough to wave at one another. Threatening for divorce, surgeries, and in the midst of all of that, I couldn't understand it. All I know is God told me, hey, just like Job, if I brought Job through it, Marty, I'm going to bring you through it. You just hang in there. I've got a purpose for all of this. And I look back at that valley in my life. I mean 3.5 years of living hell, folks, on earth, and all hell broke loose. I'm telling you, that was when God done the greatest work in my life. Got saved. My wife got saved, got baptized together, surrendered to the ministry. I didn't understand it in the midst of all the pain and the suffering. I just wanted the pain and the suffering to just go away. But boy, looking back, how God done that beautiful work in the most painful struggles and valleys that we went through. And here Paul says, the love of Christ controls us. Concluding this, we think of this, the end of the self life. Number one, you want to go into this new year with a bright outlook and a spiritual outlook that will help you through your walk with God? Number one, it begins with the end of the self life. The dying of the old self, number one. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:14 right here, the love of Christ controls us, have concluded this, listen to this carefully, that one died for all, Jesus, and then he says, therefore, all died. Now, understand this. Paul, underneath the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is making a very important point right here. In other words, he's saying that Christ died for our sins and then saved us by his grace. And because he died for us on the cross, we died with him on that cross. Now, carefully understand this. In other words, one godly writer put it like this, any attempt to return to the old sinful way of living is a pitiful disgrace and high treason against a holy God who saved us by his grace. When he died, we died. That means we shouldn't have no desire, folks. We should want that old sinful nature to be crucified on a daily basis because we don't want to have nothing to do with that old sinful life that we were living in before we got saved by the grace of God. What are you trying to say, brother? Let me put it to you like this. How many of you own a car? Amen. How many of you get that thing cleaned on a regular basis? You get it cleaned up or you polish it or you detail it on the inside? How many of you have you remodeled your house? You got an old house and you went in and you took the old panel off. 2016, most all of you did it. It was hard. It was painful. It was a struggle. You fought with insurance companies. You fought with contractors. But you would rip that thing and gut it out and then you put all kind of new stuff in it. You remodeled it, they call it. How many of you bought something refurbished because you wanted to get the new thing, but you couldn't afford it, so you got a refurbished one? You know what the difference is? That car's going to get dirty again, and you're going to have to clean it again and clean it again and clean it again. That house is going to get refurbished. Sooner or later, the boards are going to rot. Termites are going to get it. Something's going to happen. A storm's going to come. The roof's going to get blown off. But, folks, I want to tell you, here's an important lesson to learn going into this new year. God's not trying to refurbish us and God's not trying to remodel us. God is trying to kill the sin in our lives. When you polish something up or you do a 360, it's just going to come back again and again and again and again. God's not trying to refurbish us or remodel us or polish us up, folks. God's trying to crucify the sin in our lives that is keeping us in that rut of discouragement and depression and not walking in victory. So here's how that we should go into this new year. Man, we should want this sinful old self to be terminated, not cleaned up and beautified and glorified and repolished and refurbished. One godly man used to pray this prayer. I've said this many a times preaching. God, make me as holy as a saved sinner could be by the grace and glory of God. Is that your outlook going into this new year? Paul said over there in Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 and 10, put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. See, and you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. God, take that jealousy, that anger, that wrath, that bitterness, and crucify it, Lord. I don't even want to see it again. Lord, abolish it, terminate it by the grace and glory of God. Loving everything of God and hating everything of the old sinful nature. A dying of the old self and then a surrendering going into this new year of the new self. He says in verse 15, he died for all so that those who live might no longer live for themselves. Paul said these words, listen to this, connected with this verse in 5:15. No longer I live, but that Christ lives within me. It's the exchange life in the Word of God. I'm surrendering everything that I want in life to the Lordship of Christ so that Christ can live out his life in and through my life. And most of us don't get it. Why? Because we live in a very self-oriented world. The unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I. How many of you got your life all figured out right now? This is where I'd like to be in 10 years. This is where I'd like to be in 15 years. This is how I'd like to retire. This is what I'd like to see in my marriage. This is what I'd like to see my children all in church, getting right with God. And then you've got all of these things over here on a chalkboard that you want to see happen. And how many of you'd be honest and say, I look at it, a lot of it ain't happening. It seems like the more I have on my board and the more I want to see God do it, the less I see being accomplished. You know what, folks? Everything's in God's timing, and everything's filtered through the sovereign hand of God. But when you get to that point like Job, he lost it all. Lost his house, lost his belongings, his 10 children. His wife said, curse God and be done with him. And then Job says in chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, even if I die, yet will I trust him. One translation says, yet will I praise him. What you trying to say, Brother Martin? I'm trying to tell you got to get to the point where when your dreams don't come through, your visions don't come through, all your wishes don't come through, all your wants don't come through, and you feel like God ain't nowhere in sight, that is the time and place when God sometimes is doing his deepest work, and he will always be there, no matter who else is not there or what else don't work out for you. God is faithful. And going into the new year, depending completely and totally upon God. This is the surrendering of the new self, totally submitted. Everything that I want in life, everything that I'd love to see take place, I lay at the feet of the Lordship of Jesus and say, Lord, not my will be done, but thou. What a difference that would make. What a difference in your mind that would make when you address God in such a way. Everything that I'd love to see take place, Lord, I'm laying it at your precious feet. And I don't no longer want my will to be. You know what? One old preacher wrote, he said, we too busy instead of surrendering and submitting our new self to the Lordship of Jesus. This is what too many of us are busy doing. And instead of victory, most Christians are living in misery because instead of praying these words, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're too busy praying, Lord, my kingdom come. Lord, my will be done in heaven. Lord, my will be done on earth. And Lord, I want to get all the glory after all my will's done on earth. Did Jesus set that example for us as the Son of the living God? I must go to Jerusalem. I must die. I only do what I see my Father doing. I only do what pleases Him. Now, you do a panoramic view of Jesus' life from the day he was born until the day he died on that cross. It wasn't an easy road, folks. It was a very, very difficult thing to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. They plucked out his beard. They cursed him. Even as a child, he had a price tag on his head to be terminated and killed as a baby. They tried to grab him and stone him to death. He slipped out. God protected him because he was a man on a mission. Going to the cross to die for our sins so that we could be reconciled to God and be brought in a right relationship with God. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. He constantly kept his eyes on the will of the Father and constantly relied on the Father as he prayed and submitted underneath his authority for God the Father to give him the strength and carry him all the way to the cross of Calvary so that he could die for our sins. Folks, life's going to be difficult sometimes. Life's going to be full of tragedies. Life's going to be full of persecution. Life's even going to bring death into our lives at times. But you and I have to understand, as we submit to God's lordship, we can stand on his promises. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I consider that the sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed to us one day. I want to tell you something, church, going into this new year. I've been through tragedies. I've been through death in my families. I've been through persecution and suffering. But I do realize this. I'd much rather suffer for the cause and the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, knowing that one day when I stand before God and the books are open, my name's going to be right there written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And I consider that the sufferings of this world are not going to be worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed to us. Many people suffer because they're living against God and in rebellion against God. But the child of God, every ounce of suffering, every valley, everything that's filtered through the hands of an omnipotent God has a spiritual purpose and reason for it. And you and I are going to be rewarded one day by the grace and glory of God. Surrendering this new self to the glory of God going into the new year. Giving up going toe-to-toe with God. Giving up warring against God. Giving up our own plans for the plan of God. Then we see the introduction of the faith life. The faith life accepts a new description. We get this description in the Word of God in verse 16. "Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh." There was only one thing that mattered to the Apostle Paul when he wrote these words. Not a man's wealth, not a man's popularity, not a man's influence or a man's wisdom or intellect. Were you born of the Spirit or of the flesh? Were you a child of God or a child of the devil? This drove the Apostle Paul that every man would come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I look at TV, folks, and I tell you what, I look at all these celebrities and sports guys and movie stars and full of wealth and prominence and making commercials and making movies and all of that wealth. There's only one thing that troubles me when I look at all of that. Do they know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of their life? Isn't that the only thing that matters when we die? Do we know Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives? Is that person, when they die, saved by the grace and glory of God? All of that popularity, all of that influence that they have, all of that. And Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And every year, at the end of the year, I see this on television. The stars that we lost in 2022, the celebrities that we lost in 2022, the movie stars that we lost in 2022, the sports popular figures that we've lost in 2022. But you never see pictures of people up there that died that were drunkards or alcoholics or lay another need a bridge, they died. It's always the great, the high, the mighty, the celebrities, the billionaires, the millionaires, the sports figures, those who are very popular. It's always a long list of the movie stars and all of these people who are filthy, rich, and popular that they show. Isn't, and am I telling the truth this morning? They don't show the little old guy that struggled with drugs, that OD'd, or the alcoholic that drank himself to death. They never show no one like that. It's always the high, the mighty, the popular, and those figures that they show. And guess what? They all had an appointment with death. Every one of them. And that's why they're showing them. They died. It is appointed unto man to die once and then the judgment. The only thing that matters when we die, folks, is not how popular people thought we were or how much money we made or how much influence we had. The only thing that's going to matter, did we know the Lord Jesus Christ? Were we saved by the grace of God? Paul went on to write in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, God has chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of this world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of this world, he says, and the despised God has chosen so that no man may boast before God. When we go into this new year, folks, we need to understand this. The high and mighty, the rich and the wealthy, the despised, they despise the holy God and his children. They despise the word of God. They despise morality. But one day it's all going to make sense when the end comes that Jesus Christ is Lord. And every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. They will understand one day why we love Jesus so much. And why is it? Because when I didn't love him, he still loved me. When I was ungodly and wretched, living in my sins and rebellion against God, Jesus loved me and died for me so that I could be reconciled to God and saved by the grace of God. We go into this new year praising God for the new creation. Paul says right here in verse 17 that we are in Christ. Can we go into this new year praising God that we've been saved by the grace of God? God gave us what we did not deserve. We deserved death, hell, and the grave. And God sent his son Jesus and he hung on the cross and died the just for the unjust, suffered and bled a vicarious death, the most excruciating death that you could imagine on this earth, so that you and I could be brought into a relationship with God. Can we go into this new year praising God for the old rugged cross and the blood of Jesus and the resurrection of God, and that we've been saved by the grace and glory of God? We don't have nothing to boast about except the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in 2023. Miss Sybil, it kind of reminds me of an old song. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. Folks, we ought to go into this new year just praising and thanking God for the love of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jerry, you like that? You want me to sing it again, don't you? Here we go. I'm just kidding. Increase your prayer life, 2023. Then the faith life accepts this new creation of man. He says in verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hey, can you praise God this morning that God changed you by the grace and glory of God? I've had several people tell me since I've been preaching, well, Brother Marty, I've heard your testimony, and it's easy to see a big change when you live like you did. I was a good moral person. I was what they call a goody two-shoe. There wasn't much change when I got saved. I promise you there was a change. And I can prove it to you. You went from trusting in your self-righteous morality into trusting the grace of God. That's a big change. You went from trusting your church attendance and your religious activity to a saving relationship with God. That's a big change. You went from trying to deceive people and make people think you was going to sit on a pew and be a good old boy or girl and just go into heaven because you was good to realizing you were a bankrupt sinner full of self-righteousness, ungodly, just as the next man was, and you got saved by the grace of God alone, by faith of God in God alone, and in Christ alone. That was a big change for you. There is no juicy testimonies and unjuicy testimonies, folks, is what I'm trying to tell you. If you got saved by the grace of God, whether you was a drunkard or a drug addict or a church-sitting, self-righteous, ungodly sinner, not willing to swallow your pride, it was a miracle of God to break you and save you by the grace of God. You got a beautiful testimony. You were saved by the grace and glory of God. I want to tell you something, folks, and I tell people this all the time who were good moral people and didn't realize they needed to be saved by the grace of God. I wish I'd have took the path you did. There's nothing glorious about sin and wretchedness, ungodliness, drugs. There's nothing glorious about that. There's nothing glorious about it all. I wish I'd have never touched it. I wish I'd have never done it. But by the grace and glory of God, I got saved just like you did. By the grace of God. The faith life accepts this new creation of man. If anyone is in Christ, verse 17, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. One godly writer said this, it is impossible for the Creator to make a new creature, and no one sees the difference the Creator has made. I'll read that again to you. It is impossible for the Creator to make a new creature, and no one see the difference the Creator has made in that individual's life. The old-timey preachers used to say this, according to right here, verse 17, no change, no salvation. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a convicting statement to go into the new years with. No change, no salvation. Isaiah reiterated this very thought in Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 21. He says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. This people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. I tell you what, you get somebody saved by the grace of God that understands repentance and the blood of Jesus, and they realize they're a new creature in Christ, the very first thing they say, they'll start skipping like a new calf, or praising God that they've been saved by the grace of God. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Y'all better keep on praying Jeff gets healed. Y'all gonna have to listen to me. Folks, I believe that's one of the very first things we begin to do when we become a new creature in Christ. We begin to praise God for his great salvation. And I tell you what, Brother Dennis, I not only praised him when I first got saved, I'm still now praising him almost 30 years later. We ought to not ever get over the fact that we've been saved by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus. Then we see the operation of this Christ life going into this new year. Boy, what if we got our minds focused on this going into 2023? There is a world to reach now that we praise God and we've been saved by the grace of God. There's lost people to reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where do you see that? Right here in verse 19. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He has committed to us. Committed to us. Who's us? That's us who's on the Jesus bus, amen? Those who've been saved by the grace of God, committing to you and committing to me the word of reconciliation. Not only was Christ reconciling the world to to himself, and then he saves you and I. Only Christ can save you, and only Christ can save me. But then once we get saved, the word of reconciliation has been committed to you and committed to me. This is why we have the Great Commission, not the Great Omission. All power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth, Jesus said. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have committed unto you, whatsoever. And lo, I'm with you always. Thank you, Brother James. I got ahead of myself. I speed up a little bit too fast sometimes. Teaching them to observe whatsoever I have committed to you. And lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. We should be a church on a mission this morning, folks, to tell the world about the love of God and to repent and be saved before it's too late. I want you to think about that for a second. He committed to you and he committed to me the word of reconciliation. Repent before it's too late. Be reconciled to God before it's too late. One godly writer said, no one, listen to this, and this don't mean lost or saved, but no one can claim to be fully surrendered to Christ and never tell anyone about him. Now, he's not saying you lost if you're not telling him. He's saying, how can you claim to be fully surrendered to Christ and never tell no one about him when you're commanded in God to share the word of reconciliation? Folks, there's only one answer. Be reconciled to God. Why? Because man is at war with God if he's not saved by the grace of God. Be reconciled to God. Because heaven and hell is at stake, and there's no way out of this world alive except to be washed with the precious blood of Jesus, to repent of your sins and be saved by the grace and glory of God. It's the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. Every born-again Christian should be telling people to be reconciled to God before it's too late. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Then there's a word to preach. Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel the Lord Jesus Christ. Just what is the gospel? Folks, the gospel is the good news. The good news of Jesus' death and burial and resurrection. And that whosoever repents and comes and calls upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. People got all these ideas in these last days that we live in. Hey, man, we're having a big Easter egg hunt, man. Y'all come to church Sunday. Man, we're cooking a big old brisket. We're having a big barbecue at church. Y'all come Sunday. We got a big youth party. There's going to be door prizes, and there's going to be all kind of fun, man. Come to church Saturday. Come with us in fellowship. There's nothing wrong with getting together and eating and having fun, folks, as Christian, but what I'm telling you, going into 2023, we should be doing more of telling people to turn to Christ and repent and be saved before this world ends than just inviting them to another fellowship. Please hear what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. Inviting people to church is great, and we should all be inviting them to church. But more than anything, we should be having an urgency to tell people that they're lost and on their way to hell, be reconciled to God before it's too late. Another belly full of food, another door prize won whenever you get you into the doors of heaven and open up the gates of glory. But I tell you what will get you there, when you recognize that you're lost and undone apart from Jesus. And yet God in his infinite grace and mercy had a plan before the foundation of the world so that you could be saved and be reconciled to God. And that was to put his son Jesus, a sinless, perfect sacrifice, to take your sins, to take your pain, to take your suffering and all the penalty of the sins that you committed and I committed upon himself, the sinless, perfect Son of God, willingly, lovingly dying so that you and I could be saved by the grace of God. And then this one small thing he asked of us, by the way, now that you're saved by the grace of God, go tell the world about me. Go tell the world about me. Go exalt me and preach me to a lost and dying world. Call them to repentance. Call them to be saved by the grace and glory of God. I wonder if we'd just sell out in 2023 and everybody left here just telling people about Jesus. Man, God saved me by the grace of God. I had an opportunity and a privilege to witness to some friends this weekend, old friends, and tell them how this world's going to end. And man, we need to be right with God. We need to be saved by the grace of God. Give people a track, man. Hey, it's not as complicated as you think. You don't have to know Genesis to Revelation, folks, and every commentary on the face of this earth to be able to tell somebody, man, Jesus loves you so much, and this is why he loves you so much. Yet while you were a sinner, Christ died for you. In the midst of your rebellion, not wanting Christ in your life, Christ died for you. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do you know what that means, man? That means everybody born into this world is a sinner. There was only one sinless, perfect man that ever walked the face of this earth, and it was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. His name was Jesus. He's the Son of God. He died, but God raised him from the dead. Folks, you don't have to be a 50-year theologian to tell somebody that they're a sinner and yet Christ died on the cross and he wants to save them by the grace of God. And say, man, if you'll repent and turn from your sins and lay your life down for God, God will save you through Christ and Christ alone. And yet as the church, I wonder if this right here isn't the biggest stumbling block of all. When we look into this passage going into 2023, maybe as a saved Christian, you're still demanding your rights and you still want your future to unfold like you want it to. But you get to this point as a child of God, Lord, not my will be done, but thou. And when you pray that prayer and you surrender your will to the will of God, now instead of questioning God for everything that goes on, you say, Lord, not only am I praying for your will to be done, but as your will unfolds in my life, you give me the strength to follow you no matter what the cost may be. Peter, when you were young, you girded your loins. I tell you what, I got a sneaky suspicion when Jesus says, Peter, when you was young, Peter, before you met me, old, open up your mouth and stick your foot in, Peter. Old, anxious Peter. Rambunctious Peter. Pull out the sword and try to cut a man's head off, Peter. Deny Jesus and curse Peter. Peter, when you was young, you did what you wanted. You girded your loins, you went wherever you want, and you made your own decisions, and you had your life all mapped out. Maybe he was going to be the best fisherman on the Sea of Galilee and prosper and make a good living and do all these things. And boy, had it all planned out, had it all mapped out. Come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Peter, come follow me, and when you get old, well, you can't gird your own loins and go and do what you want to do. That's when I'm going to give you the strength to go and die on that cross for the sake of my glory. And Peter, you can count on it. Where our God, I provide. Where our God, I get the glory. Where our God, you can't boast in how big and strong you are. Because what I'm fixing to do in your life is something that only I can do. And God got much glory out of Peter's life. Well, Brother Marty, you talk a mean game. Yep. And guess what? All of my dreams and ambitions as a young man was shot. I didn't want. I didn't even want to go into the oil field. Man, I had dreams of being a professional footballer. I just wanted to go to college, play ball, man. My knees got tore up, had surgeries, an offshore accident, tragedies happen in life. And I'm where I'm at today because I've been led by the Spirit of the living God. And I would not trade preaching the gospel for the glory of God and the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of that stuff as I look back at it. Some of that probably would have ruined me, maybe. Who knows? But God rescued me and saved me by the grace of God. And it's still a life of valleys, ups and downs, heartaches, pain, suffering, even death. But in the midst of it all, folks, I've learned that the Christian life is just not a song the anchor holds in the midst of the storm. It's a reality. The story of the Apostle Paul in prison, praising God at midnight and worshiping God, is not just a story, folks. I've learned how to praise God in the valley and on the mountaintop and everywhere in between because God is in control. And we may not understand it all sometimes. We might not even understand it. And even when we get to glory, and God's not there just to answer every single question when we get to heaven. Most people got this idea, they got a big long list. Now, God, I want to know why this happened, that happened, that happened, that happened. Folks, I'm telling you, when we get to heaven and we stand before God, I believe with all my heart, all of those questions are going to have been melted before we get there. And when we see the beauty of Christ, we're going to know that God was in control from start to finish. Let us go into this new year praying for God to terminate the sin in our lives and surrender to his lordship and pray, Lord, in 2023, not my will be done, but thou. And whatever that will is, it's good. It's for the glory of God, and it's for our good. Let us pray.